Heading back home now, another major employer group has entered the annual wage debate, saying while it supports a rise in the minimum wage, the 5% increase by unions would be reckless. The federal government will today make its submission to the annual wage review after earlier this week confirming it would push for minimum and award wage increases that kept pace with inflation. The Australian Industry Group, which represents 60,000 businesses employing 1 million Australians, is also making its submission today, recommending a boost in the minimum wage of no more than 2.8%. Now, that is higher, I should note, than the 2% increase another major employer group is calling for, and that's the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We had the ACTU on earlier this week, the Australian Council of Trade Unions. They want much more, a 5% increase. AI Group's Head of National Workplace Relations Policy is Brent Ferguson, who joins us now. Morning to you, Brent.
Morning, Tom.
So why, I just want to ask you first about that number, and that's sort of how we're starting all of these interviews at the moment. Why'd you land on that? Why is no greater than 2.8% the suggested wage increase you've arrived at?
Well, Tom, it's always a complicated consideration. And, you know, we certainly want to see fair increases granted, but it's important that they're sustainable. So there are, of course, cost of living pressures that need to be borne in mind. But there are also a number of moderating factors that need to be taken into account and would weigh in favour of a much smaller increase being granted than what the unions have called for. You know, I think when we look at the totality of considerations, we're saying that the Commission needs to be very mindful of the weakening of the Australian economy. You know, we've seen a marked slowing in GDP last year, and it's pretty clear that that's going to continue in the short term.
Do you think that's the case, though? I mean, productivity has been in free fall, but there are some green shoots. The Productivity Commission found it increased 0.5% in the December quarter. I mean, how is there any hope at all that productivity could actually be on the rebound?
There's been some modest increase or stabilisation of productivity.
It's not going down, though.
Well, but it has, if you look at last year. And but when you look at
productivity... It's turning around now, though, just to clarify.
There was, in relation to labour productivity, there was a very modest sort of stabilisation in that turnaround after a period of declines. But when you look at productivity, it's really important to look at the long-term trend. And, you know, it's notorious that in Australia, you know, over the long term, you know, really stretching back beyond a decade, we've had abysmal levels of productivity growth. And that is a sustained problem that really impinges upon industry's ability to, you know, meet the costs of wage rises. And it goes to the heart of the issue. You know, if you have, you know, excessive wage rises and you don't have productivity improvements that enable business to meet those costs, that's where you get into inflationary problems and impacts on employment.
What about the fact, I mean, the cost of living crisis is hitting people hard, though, and inflation, you know, in particular. This week we have learned it's holding steady, 3.4%. What about that argument? Why shouldn't pay rises keep pace with inflation, as the government at least is suggesting, the ACTU, of course, going further?
Yeah, look, inflation and cost of living increases need to be taken into consideration, but... the Commission needs to take a much more nuanced approach than just saying that wages should match or exceed inflation. You know, it needs to look at all of those considerations. So, you know, it's not in the interests of anyone for wages to be granted at a level that are unsustainable and has an adverse effect on employment, you know, on jobs offered, on the number of hours that are offered. And that's the risk. But also we think you need to look at the perspective of business too. The Commission needs to strike a balance between the interests of employees and employers, and there's some real headwinds for industry and burdens.
I want to ask you about one other factor as well, because in your submission, I note you talk about the 0.5% increase in superannuation obligations. Now, that's set to come in from July. I just want to ask you, I mean, why should that come at the expense of wage rises for employees who, as we've just discussed, are really feeling the pinch at the moment?
Well, it just comes back to that point I was just making then. You need to balance the, you know, the interests of employees, but also the burdens on business. The Commission has always taken into account increases in superannuation, and that is a moderating factor on wage rises. You know, we saw last July very high, record high increases to award wages, over, you know, 5.75% higher for the national minimum wage. Then we saw 0.5% of superannuation increases, and we saw another 0.5%, or we'll see another 0.5% come in July. That's a cost to business. And of course, it's part of the income that employees receive. It is just a moderating consideration. that weighs against an excessive increase being granted. And it's always been taken into account.
I note some industrial relations experts, John Buchanan, one of them, for example, they argue, look, there's no evidence here that boosting the pay for those on the minimum wage actually leads to job losses. I mean, do you have evidence that that could happen?
Well, we think it's a real risk that it's going to happen. If you look at what is happening with the employment and with the labour market, we are seeing a weakening, both in terms of overall employment levels, but also hours being offered. But the real consideration here is that we're particularly seeing a weakening of the labour market in some of the sectors that pay people in accordance with the award. Look at retail, food accommodation sectors. Now, the real risk is that a big increase in wages for those sectors will weigh on employers' considerations as to whether they give extra hours to people or whether they can afford to put on an extra employee. And you know, that's the concern, that a superficial, you know, an immediate increase to wages might seem beneficial, but it really risks having negative impacts on those sort of vulnerable workers, particularly also on younger workers. We've seen unemployment rates for youth work rising, and that's a real concern because many of those are on awards.
Britt, we're almost out of time. Forgive me. Before I let you go, what if some of those economic factors change? Inflation, a big one, for example, during the annual wage review process. I mean, are you open to changing your position on this?
Oh, of course, and we've made that very clear that, you know, this is some guidance that we're providing through, you know, to the Commission on Industry's perspective, but, you know, we will get further information, including information from the government on what sort of other cost of living, you know, relief might be provided beyond the stage three tax cuts. And all of that needs to be taken into consideration too. And so, you know, that might have an impact on the number that we call for, because that's all relevant and will be considered by the Commission.
Great to hear your thoughts, Brent. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much for that, Tom.
Thanks a lot. Brent Ferguson, the AI Group's Head of National Workplace Relations Policy.